You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. Stay a while. Stay as long as you want. You can watch on Peacock. If you don't have Peacock, download the app. You can watch for free. Also, our great radio affiliates around the country, say good morning to Chat Row and the other Danettes here as well. For anyone who thought the stick-to-sports debate peaked in 2020, well, it's back here in 2021. And I understand the criticism. Sports is a distraction. I think that we've approached it that way, that we tried to be that distraction for you during this pandemic. And hopefully we can continue to be that for you, an outlet. You can watch news. You can watch analysis on the news. You can find all those things that you want. And hopefully we're a safe haven for you, that you know what you're going to get when you tune in. Today might be a little bit different. You know, we watch games for a living. We're not constitutional experts, but we're human. And I think everybody was affected by what they saw yesterday. And I'm not trying to divide anybody in this job. I try not to play the political game here. But there are times when you have to speak up. You should speak up. I have the platform to speak up. I try to unite people. We bring them together with that common thread of it's us. And that's the way I still approach this. And I will always approach it that way. You know, we root against each other's teams, but we're still in it together because we love sports. I mean, that's the beauty of this. You know, there is more that's discussed in sports than there is in any other walk of life. When you think about it, we've talked politics, we've talked religion, we've talked race, we've talked violence, we've talked, you know, players being active. We've talked about all of those things when we need to talk about those things. But the events in D.C. yesterday were historic, they were profound, they were surreal, they were ugly. And I would love to talk about the NFL playoff matchups or Bradley Beal's 60-point game last night, but it would be disingenuous to start the show and act as if, hey, it's just another day, because it's not. This will be a tough show to do. Not that you're looking at degree of difficult for me, but these are shows that I do not look forward to doing because there's a delicate balance and it just feels like there's some raw emotion that is, it's on the surface. And, yesterday was troubling. That was tough to watch. But, you know, the very fundamentals we hold dear that make sports possible, they're threatened. And I'm sorry, just to stick to sports doesn't feel like a relevant statement. I don't think for anybody today. We'll do our best, and hopefully you'll have patience with us to understand that it's 3 hours. This is live, and we react to whatever the news might be. Hopefully today is a whole lot better than yesterday, which is not saying a whole lot. But we together, with what we do every single day, with your involvement, whether you call, you email, you tweet, or you just listen or just watch. Now, I know what my job is today, and I'll try to do it the best that I can. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. The sports headlines, no more positive tests for the Browns. We mentioned yesterday that Trevor Lawrence is going pro. Bradley Beal scored 60 points last night. The 76ers, I think, are now 7-1. Doc Rivers has done a wonderful job. I did want to bring this up, and I thought it was important with the context of what has happened here in the last 11 or 12 months. And, you know, there's been Black Lives Matter, there's social unrest, there's protest, there's activism, there's a lot of things. And we have discussed as best we can and giving both sides. Doc Rivers had some pretty powerful comments, and Doc has had some pretty powerful comments throughout all of this. And he had a press conference yesterday, the 76ers head coach, and I thought it was worth bringing back. Here is Doc Rivers.
I'll say it because I don't think a lot of people want to. Could you imagine today if those were all black people storming the Capitol and what would have happened? You know, so that to me is a picture that's worth a thousand words for all of us to see, and probably something for us to reckon with again. You know, no police dogs turn on people, no billy clubs hitting people, people peacefully being escorted out of the Capitol. So it shows that you can disperse a crowd peacefully, I guess, would be the one thing. But it's a sad day in a lot of ways. It's not good for our country, more across the borders, that people see this. But it's part of what we are, and so we have to solve it.
That's Doc Rivers before yesterday's game with the Wizards. And I started to think about this. In our world, in sports, we have a winner. We have a loser. We have the numbers that back these, you know, outcomes, these games. Whereas in the world of politics, you know, it's left in doubt, or we can cast doubt on it. We can make it gray. There's no real clock that's ticking. And it's just, you know, hey, he says he won. Hey, he says he lost. We don't do that in sports. It's like, you did win and you did lose. It'd be like Mac Jones going, well, you know what? I think I like to, you know, let's check those votes there. I think I might have won the Heisman here. It's, we have, in our world, we have results. It's right there in black and white. We got the stats. We have it. That's why it's so foreign sometimes when you're going in other walks of life. We don't know, or we act like we don't know, or we cast doubt on something. In sports, we don't. I mean, we might go, did the Knicks really win the Patrick Ewing sweepstakes? Like, that's our big one. Do you think the commissioner knew which card was the Knicks? Like, that's as close as we get. I had news yesterday, and Paulie and I had a good discussion yesterday because of what was going on. I got some news about the national title game. And I said, look, I have this news. I don't care if somebody beats me to it. You know, I don't, you know, do these scoops or breaking news. That's not my job. But if I get the information, I always pass it on to you, the audience. And when I got the information, it was right after the show. And, you know, we were glued to our TV sets of just like, what is going on? And I just put it to the side because I didn't want to come off as disingenuous or, wait, you're going to put out some breaking news story and this is going on? Like the national title game just, it wasn't important yesterday. And so Paulie and I called him and I said, hey, look, I have some information. I got a little more information here. And then he said, no, we got to wait till tomorrow. Got to wait till tomorrow. And the more I thought about it, the more he was right. I didn't want to do it last night. I just didn't want to do it and go, hey, this is going on. Because it wasn't important. I mean, it is important, you know, as we move forward to crowning a national champion. But it's sports important, not our country's importance. And I didn't want to seem like I had no idea what was going on in the real world. And I go, hey, got this information from a source here. And so let me tell you what I got yesterday, because I was curious a couple of things. And that is Ohio State planning on playing in the national title game? And I asked my source, I said, is Ohio State planning on playing in the national title game this next Monday? And my source said, Ohio State is very close to the availability limit right now, especially at the defensive line positions. And then my source said, the Big Ten is advocating for Ohio State to be able to postpone the national title game. Now, I don't know if it's an official request. This is what I have. It just says, team hit hard by COVID, especially the defensive line. Ohio State is close to the availability limit for the game. Big Ten advocating to postpone for a week. We've heard some rumblings here. I did ask about Justin Fields, and my source said, let me see. Banged up but ready to play, or banged up but will play. Because I didn't know if let's see. Yeah, my source says Fields banged up, will play. Big Ten trying to get a postponement. Defensive line and the team hit hard by COVID, and they're approaching the availability limit to be able to field a team. That the Big Ten would be advocating for moving this. It's not Ohio State, from what I'm told. The Big Ten is saying we need to have a what would be a legitimate national title game, and COVID is still. Now, Alabama and Ohio State aren't transparent with their numbers. They haven't been, and apparently they don't have to be. They're also governed by different medical rules in their conferences. The SEC and Big Ten approach this differently. So trying to get the information there has been hard to find out exactly how hard hit they are with COVID, but it sounds like they're inching closer to the number of players they need to have available for this national title game. So that was the information I had yesterday. And, you know, there have been pockets of information like this out there. But from what I was told yesterday, the Big Ten is advocating for postponing this a week. Not Ohio State. And Justin Fields, from what I'm told, will play. Ohio State is planning on playing. I just want to make sure that we underline that. Ohio State is planning on playing, but the Big Ten is advocating for Ohio State, who is close to the availability limit, to be able to postpone this game for a week. That was the information I had yesterday. All right, we'll come up with a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. Dan Orlovsky from ESPN. Always love when he joins us. We'll talk some football here. Look, we're going to tiptoe through this day. We are. I'm sure you have a lot of opinions, and I think we all do. But I'm here to cover the sports reaction to this. If there were games that were going to be impacted last night, there were signs of unity, protest, taking a knee. We saw that last night. But I said to Fritzy, if you're looking for somebody, only if a game is canceled or a game is in jeopardy. If, Washington's football game this weekend, if there would be something that would affect that. That's the job that we have today. That's what we're trying to do. I don't want to give speeches. And I don't want this to turn into that kind of discourse. I don't. Because it's not what we do. And you can find that elsewhere. And hopefully we can provide information, entertainment, the things you've come to expect on this program. And we got 2 hours and 45 minutes to be able to do that. Good luck, Dan.
The way you said it was funny.
Yeah, I did. I looked down. I go, oh, God, I got 2 hours and 45 minutes here. Oh.
Maybe we can just ask Jay Glazer to break a news story. Anything, just make one up.
Quick, Todd, try to make a joke.
Oh, no.
This program brought to you by M-Drive. Get the supplements that you need every day. Powerful ingredients backed by science help you get energized, stronger, leaner. Go to M-Drive, Dan. MDriveDan.com today. Get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with MDrive there. Ricky in Virginia. Hi, Rick. What's on your mind today?
Well, this is the first time I've ever felt the need to call. We're so fortunate to live in a country where sports is a byproduct of our good fortune. I'm so upset that we can't come together. We're so divided politically and racially that nothing good can happen until we come together. And I want to thank you for making a good balance of the news and sports, because really I've been listening for about a year now, and every day I look forward to hearing you guys make jokes. But this isn't a day for jokes, and I just wanted to thank you for taking the time to do things correctly.
Thank you, Ricky. Look, I don't have a game plan. There's no map to do this. And I think you've trusted me that we approach this in the professional manner. I don't troll you. I'm not trying to incite anybody. I'm not playing a political game. I try not to. I try to do what my job is. And that is, we do sports. We do entertainment. Sometimes you do sports and entertainment. But that's the goal today, as it is every day, And if there's something that comes up that I think warrants, you know, coloring outside the lines, then we'll do it. But until, you know, something sports related is impacted by this, we saw it, we felt it, it hurt, it bothered, we had a reaction to it. And we'll try to move forward today. What kind of poll question? You know what? How about I take a break? It's, you know, let me just kind of air this out. Let's get into a commercial break here and reset. Dan Orlovsky will join us. We'll talk some football there. And a really strange decision by the Houston Texans in regards to who they're interviewing and who they're not. So we'll have that for you coming up as well. Take a break. It's 17 after the hour. Glad you're part of the program. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Go the extra mile. Your very own upfitted, tricked-out Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van you could win in Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. To enter, get official rules, visit foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com. By January 24th, Mercedes-Benz vans. We'll make way for Dan Orlovsky of the Mothership here in a moment. McLovin, what's the poll question today?
I have several NFL poll questions. A real quick NBA question that I don't even want you to think about.
Okay.
Who would you rather have, James Harden or Bradley Beal?
Bradley Beal's 27. Harden's 31. What do they cost me? Like I got Harden wrapped up for two more years. Bradley Beal, though, I don't know what his contract status is. It feels like Bradley Beal's name comes up every 6 weeks, and then somebody will go, gosh, you know, the Lakers should go for Bradley Beal, or the Miami Heat should go for Bradley Beal. And then Bradley Beal continues to toil in Washington with the Wizards as he put up 60 last. He had 57 through three quarters, ended up with 60. He doesn't win when he puts up these numbers. Because I was curious. He had 60 points last night, but they lost in Philadelphia by 5. Over the last two seasons, Bradley Beal has scored at least 50 points 3 times. Washington has lost all 3 games. For all the other players since 2019, their teams are 18-4 when they score 50 or more points. Sounded like a
stat.
There you go.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Give me another NFL poll question, then we'll get to Dan Orlovsky.
All right, two questions we're going to ask. Which AFC wildcard team do you give the best shot of reaching the Super Bowl? Bills, Ravens, Steelers, Titans, Colts, or Browns? And which job opening would you want? Jets, Lions, Texans, Chargers, Falcons, or Jaguars? So we're going to do a two for Tuesday today.
Okay, I saw where Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, interviewed with every team that has an opening, except for the Texans. Now, are they planning to interview him? Because I would think if I get that guy who's been working with that quarterback to now work with my quarterback in Houston, I don't know. Seems like it's worth an interview. And it feels like everybody is getting an interview now because of Zoom, that you don't have to travel to the city. I'm going to guess you could get Eric Bieniemy to sit down for a couple hours. I'd just be curious about that. That of all the teams, Eric Bieniemy interviewed with everybody. But the Texans. Dan Orlovsky gets paid the big money to answer questions like that. ESPN will have its megacast production. They got the Ravens and Titans wildcard game at 1 Eastern on Sunday. Dan and the rest of the NFL Live crew. And you can check that out. The traditional telecast will be on ESPN and ABC. Do you think that this is a we'll get back to you at some point, Eric Bieniemy, or the Texans aren't interested in interviewing the Chiefs offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I would imagine that they're not interested, which is moronic. You know, the fact that they should have hired him after that playoff debacle last year. They should have said, nope, we're done with Bill O'Brien, Bieniemy come in. So, you know, I don't think like that the Texans' job is that much about Deshaun. Okay. I mean, it's really get out of the way. He's such a special player. It's more so like, can you find a way to rebuild the roster with absolutely no assets? That's the biggest challenge. So it's like the fact that they haven't interviewed Eric Bieniemy or that he's not at the top of their list is just a very small kind of viewpoint into how dysfunctional the Houston Texans are run right now.
Yeah, I don't think it's a great job. And if you were going to rank these jobs, where would you start with number one opening?
The Chargers, easily. Mainly because the Chargers have a general manager that's proven. It's not just – I mean, the fact that Herbert's there is amazing. But Telesco's put together a really good roster. And I think that's like one of the hardest things to do in the NFL is find really good, consistent general managers. Second, you know, I know everyone points to the Jags because they have the number one pick. But I would be a little bit hesitant hearing Shad Khan come out and say he wants some form of roster control, you know, like, and you don't know who the general manager is there. If you look at the Jets job, at least I know, at least I have 1 year of Joe Douglas as the guy and go, okay, he had three really good picks in his first draft, or at least two that look really good with Mims and Becton. Some third rounders had some promise. So like, I've got a guy that's got 15 plus years in Baltimore as a front office guy who we know Baltimore is fantastic. And I have proof that like he can draft good players and they've got so many picks moving forward. I could sit here and in my opinion, say, I think the Jets job is better than the Jags because of the guy taking the picks.
Yeah. I've always said when people go, oh, they got all these draft picks. And I say, who's drafting? Who's using those picks? The Browns had all these picks all these years, and they didn't do well. So Baltimore makes use of whatever picks they have better than anybody does. What is just you know what? Let me ask you this question, because I've asked this to Daniel Jeremiah, that you could have Trevor Lawrence or you could have Justin Herbert right now.
I would say Justin Herbert. And that's a big jump for me.
Yeah.
Because I was a huge Trevor Lawrence fan and I still am. But the two things, or I think the thing that stands out the most to me is when Herbert's back was against the wall and he really had to like kind of take over games this year, he did. Like he took over games. I understand the offensive line wasn't great and some receivers were down and he still played really well. As much as I love Trevor Lawrence and as much as I don't like the scheme that he played in at Clemson and that they were kind of okay talent-wise this year, he didn't rise up when his back was against the wall. And that would be something that I have to figure out why that was the case the last three times he's played in those big games when the team across from him was pretty darn good and he had to become like the dude, the difference maker. He didn't do it. And that's a little bit – that gives me pause.
But if you look at Justin Fields now with what he did, how he played, got, you know, hit pretty hard, the toughness there, had some great deep throws over the middle, and now you have the national title game. Is there a way that he could somehow come out of this as the quarterback in the draft?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd say two reasons why. If Urban Meyer takes the Jacksonville job, I could absolutely see him liking Justin Fields. And then two, if you go out and whoop up on Nick Saban's defense, that's a big deal to the NFL. I mean, NFL coaches value and evaluators value Nick Saban as a coach. If you go out and whoop Venables and whoop Nick Saban, you can absolutely see him jumping Trevor Lawrence.
If you were the Jets, what would you do?
So if I'm the Jets and I sit there and I go, you know what? I think Justin Fields or Zach Wilson is as good as Sam Darnold, or in 3 years is going to be as good as Sam Darnold. I take one of those young quarterbacks because I'm resetting the financial clock, you know, as a quarterback, where if you decide Sam is going to be an exponentially better player, fine, but you got 1 year to figure that out because it's after next year, you got to make the decision on the fifth year for him. And then he starts becoming expensive. And so that's the challenge for Joe Douglas is trying to figure out where are those quarterbacks in. And I love Sam, but just the financial freedom that you get drafting one of those two quarterbacks. So if you think they're just as good and they're going to be just as good in the next 3 years, you don't see this big gap between them and Sam. You take either Zach Wilson or Justin Fields.
Do the Dolphins have to do their due diligence with the number three pick overall and look at a quarterback?
Absolutely not. The Dolphins are right on pace with where they should be when it comes to rebuilding their roster. Here's the thing, Dan. Like, the last 2 years, they took a bunch of assets and allocated them to the defensive side of the ball, both in free agency and the draft. And they hit a bunch. That's why they were a good football team this year. They got to do the same thing on the offensive side this year. You know, Tua is not a recess style, a freestyle type of quarterback. He's an executor. He's Drew Brees, but with a little bit more athleticism. So how do we make sure, like, here's the thing. What's the number one physical asset? I don't care what the quarterback looks like. The number one physical asset, can you be NFL accurate? Tua can be NFL accurate. You can't just, like, cross your fingers and hope that somebody becomes that. And so they got to draft either an offensive lineman or an offensive tackle, an offensive guard with the number three pick. My guess is it's going to be Penei Sewell. Draft that, just like the Saints did. The Saints in the last 10 years of their drafts, in the first two rounds, took seven offensive linemen. They took two wide receivers. Like, they built their team to protect the quarterback, and then they got good players around them. That's what they need to do with Tua. Build the offensive line, protect him, get him in an offense that is similar to what Drew has been in Sean Payton, and Tua will be a great player. But just getting another quarterback is not the answer.
He's Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL Live analyst. The Browns without Kevin Stefanski, so you don't have your head coach and you don't have your play caller. How do you try to substitute? What can be done? Because we've seen a different Baker Mayfield here, kind of getting used to that cadence and play calling and understanding what your team's identity is here. And now you go into this game against the Steelers. So what do the Browns do?
Yeah, one of the strengths of Kevin Stefanski is his opening script. The first 15, 20 plays of a game, he scripts out. And so people know, like, coaches grind tape all week and they figure out, okay, defenses, they like to play soft early on, so we'll get easy completions. Or they blitz us, so we got to have blitz answers. Or they'll play a ton of man, so we got to take shots downfield. Like, that's what the opening script is about, is figuring out how defenses want to start games and then attacking that. Well, we know that Kevin Stefanski's really got one quarter to impact this football game. Because after your first two drives as an offense, defenses start to figure out what you're doing and change. So then you are in that constant changing mode. Stefanski won't be there quarters two, three, and four to figure that out. So we know he's got one quarter to really get his fingerprints and stamp his imprint on this game. If I'm Kevin Stefanski, the only way I think we can win this game is we get out 14-0. If we get to the end of the first quarter and we're up 3-0, we can't win, because the Steelers have an advantage then because of that change and him not being there. I'm emptying the bag in the first quarter. I'm coming out incredibly aggressive, and whatever trick plays or gimmick plays that I think we've got, that we execute well, that we practiced all season, they're getting used and trying to figure out a way to jump out 14-0. Because if they jump out 14-0 because of that, then they got a chance. Okay, they can pound the run, they can be aggressive at their defensive line. That's their only shot, because one of the main changes this year, as we know, is Stefanski, but he's been able to impact the game on a first through fourth quarter basis. He won't do that this week. He knows he's got 15 minutes. Make them count.
Got an upset this weekend?
Oh, man. Do I think that the Chicago Bears can beat the Saints? I do. If I'm the Chicago Bears, I'm doing the same exact game plan that the Philadelphia Eagles used with Jalen Hurts. You know, Mitchell Trubisky is going to have 8-plus runs in this game if I'm them, because they play so much man coverage. Basically, it becomes one-on-one out in the open field with Mitchell and someone else. And he's athletic enough to make guys miss. And so I think that if they can kind of allow him to be an athlete a ton, which they've done here recently, I could see that happening. Could I see Tennessee beating Baltimore? I could. If especially early on, those two receivers, A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, make some impact and get kind of the coverage back. Derrick Henry, here's the thing. Like, I used to be with Gary Kubiak, and when we were with Kubes and we were playing against a defense that had two really good cover corners, Kubes would say all the time, we're going to make the cover corners tackle early in this game. We're going to find out if those guys want to tackle or they just want to cover. And I could see Arthur Smith – starting this game for Tennessee and going, all right, Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey, we're going to find if you guys want tackle. And if you don't, game is over.
Well, wait. How does that work, though, Dan? That,
yeah.
Like, how does the defensive back not tackle?
It's a want to. I mean, tackling 260 pounds is a want to. You know, it's – and in the run game, Dan, like, you know, run game is always math, you know, and there's always going to be one person that's left over. And then as an offense, your job is to figure out how to find – who that one person is. You can scheme things up there. All right, corner, you're going to be the one guy. And you go, Derek, that's your guy. And, you know, I've never had to tackle 260 pounds. I'm thankful. But, like, that's how you do it. You scheme up to be, okay, we're not going to block that guy. That's the tailbacks. And corners are going to have to come up. And dude, it's a physical commitment to go, like, all right, I'm putting my face on this dude. And especially early on in football games, man, we used to do it. Like, here's an example. We would do it with a guy like Antonio Cromartie. Crow was incredible at coverage. We would run at him early in games on purpose, even if the play wasn't successful, and the back would be like, all right, that's my guy. And it would be this violent collision, and you would watch it and be like, okay, one, was there impact, you know, like was there impact? And two, does it affect his ability to cover? And three, if he's not going to tackle, he's going to see that all game long.
I'm wondering about Drew Brees. It's hard for you guys to leave the game. You know, when you win, you know, John Elway couldn't play anymore. So he wins the Super Bowl, he's able to walk away. Peyton Manning couldn't play anymore. He's able to walk away. I can't imagine, you know, Drew Brees, let's say he would lose to the Bears. Is he more likely then to want to come back because you just went out in the first round or he's got the NBC job?
Yeah, I think he's more than likely just to walk away after a great career. I think he could be honest with himself that he's still good, but is he good enough to really kind of, you know, be the dominant quarterback that he's been for a long time? I also, there's the reality that there's $77 million over the cap next year. Can they afford Drew? Like, yeah. Can they afford paying him $25 or $30 million, but also afford the people that are going to needed to be around him to play well? So I think at the end of the day, he's a Hall of Famer. He's in the conversation for one of the greatest ever. But I don't think, especially with the injury this year, like I think that Drew is content to walk away and knowing he's got something else and he's joining a different team makes it a little bit easier.
Who gives the Rams a better chance to upset Seattle as far as quarterbacking goes? I don't know if you've ever broken your thumb, but
yeah, I've done it twice. I've done exactly what Goff has done. I've done it in college or high school once and the NFL once. One time I came back in like 2 weeks. And then one time post-surgery, I came back in 5 weeks. That was the NFL time. Jared Goff, I would be shocked if he doesn't play. This is like Goff gives them a way better chance to win the football game than Wolford does. You know, a way better chance. And if Goff feels good, especially early on, I think the Rams win the game because I don't think beating Seattle is, I think it's first team to 20 points, yeah. Right? And if you watch those two games back, I actually texted Jared because I know him. And I just sent him a note and I said, find your freaking check down because there's eight times that the check down is wide open and he just won't throw it. He's trying to do something else. And he responded back to me, ha, ha, ha. So I think he gets the point.
So you think he's playing?
I think he's playing. Okay. I haven't asked him that question. I try to kind of like respect that stuff.
Well, if you're saying to him, your check down, you're not talking about next year. Like you're talking
about this
weekend.
I'm talking about this weekend. Yeah. I'm anticipating he's playing because I've had that injury and I kind of know the surgery that he had and know that you can come back in 2 weeks from it. So he gives them the best chance. And I, as of today, and I don't think I'll change. I think that they win the game. I think the Rams win the game.
Let me see if I had anything else for you. What's in the fridge, by the way, anything good?
I mean, a lot of kid stuff just cause we got so many stinking kids, but, leftover tacos from last night, leftover tacos are glorious.
Don't you do you have triplets?
I have triplets, yeah. 9-year-old boys that are psychos, and then my daughter's 5. Yeah. So like, now I'm finding out. You know, I have so many friends that have some kids that are older than me, and they used to always talk to me about youth sports, And I'd be like, you guys are idiots with youth sports. Like, stop spending all this money to have your kid do a sport or this and that. And now one of my sons is super into lacrosse, and we live in Westport, and it's a big deal around here. So, like, I get these emails, and they're like, hey, here's this six-week clinic. It's $350. And I'm like, what? So, that's the thing with our boys right now.
Did you ever mix up the triplets?
Oh, all the time. Yeah, because two of them are identical. And so
is there a chance that you have mixed them up and that you might be calling one by the wrong name?
100%. There's been multiple moments where I'll be like, Madden, will you stop doing that? And like, I'm screaming for 15 seconds, like, Madden, stop. And Hunter will look back at me and be like, I'm Hunter. I'll be like, my bad. Yeah, I do it all the time.
All the time, man. Hey, great to have you on again, and good luck this weekend. Have fun, and thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, man. Thank you.
That's Dan Orlovsky of the Mothership. They got, I think, the game of the weekend, because you got the Titans against the Ravens. Wild card weekend. That's at 1 Eastern on Sunday. The traditional telecast will be on ESPN and ABC. We'll come back. We'll settle on our poll question. Got some phone calls and play of the day right after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Oh, my God.
The play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Marcus Smart on the drive. Tries to draw contact on the follow. It's gone. Pritchard banks it home with 0.2 seconds remaining. The rookie with the big play, and the Celtics lead by 2.
You love to see it. What an ending.
Mike Breen with the call on the Mothership. My boy Peyton Pritchard out of Oregon. 26th pick overall. A putback. He had four offensive rebounds last night. The reason why I bring that up, because he had an offensive rebound, had the putback. He didn't have any offensive rebounds through the first 8 games in the NBA with the Celtics. Yeah, it was an interesting night. I had to find something else to watch. I locked in on my Charlotte Hornets.
No.
Yes, I did.
So you were there for the big Gordon Hayward game.
Gordon Hayward had 44 last night. LaMelo Ball, I think, had 16.
Bismack Biyombo had 2 and 8.
Yep. I got locked in on the Hornets last night. Play of the day brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Go the extra mile, your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van you could win. Fox Sports Radio's ultimate tailgate rig sweepstakes. To enter, get official rules, visit foxsportsradio.com, danpatrick.com by January 24th. Mercedes-Benz vans. Sounds like, according to Dan Orlovsky, he would be shocked if Jared Goff does not play in the game against Seattle. He wasn't reporting it, but it certainly sounded like having text with, you're not saying to Jared Goff, hey, dude, use your check down wide receiver here. Your check down receiver here if you think he's not going to be playing this weekend. Yeah, Paul.
If you're Sean McVay, do you have to start Goff and see what he can do? And then go to Walford, or whatever his name is.
Walford.
If he can't do anything, if he can't perform with a thumb. Because if you leave Goff on the bench and you lose, and you find out, well, we were being cautious. It's not a knee. It's not a back. It's a thumb.
Yeah. Yeah, if he can play, if he can make all the throws, he can grip the football. I don't know what the weather's going to be like in Seattle, but it's not like he's going to Lambeau here. Susan in New Jersey. Hi, Susan. What's on your mind?
Hi, actually, what you're talking about, I had the surgery that Jared Goff had twice. And the reason I had it twice was because the first time I was breaking ice cubes in a tray after the surgery, and literally the thumb tore off my hand because the surgery hadn't settled yet. And I see the top doc in Philadelphia for hand surgery. And he said, you do nothing. The second time, I had to have the surgery 2 months later, and he cast it. And I've had 11 surgeries in my life. I've never had anything so painful in my entire life as this surgery, because they're cutting through the tendons in your hand. And oh my gosh, I just, it's I saw stars for weeks.
How far can you throw the football, though, Susan? That's what I want to know.
I can't grip anything, and I'm 3 months out.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate that. Susan is not going to be able to play against Seattle. Susan is not going to be available.
That's a blow.
Yes, it is.
Oof.
Yeah. 11 surgeries.
Dan Orlowski just told her to check her checks down.
Check down.
Yeah, got to hit the
gotta
check down.
Got to hit the check down. Yes, McLovin.
I got 45 and sunny in Seattle for Saturday. Yeah. So not terrible.
No. But, you know, these guys, when you consider how often you're throwing and the follow through, and you normally you'll hit your hand on somebody's helmet, and that's how you break your hand, break a thumb. Rob in New Orleans. Hey, Rob, what's on your mind?
Hey, DP, I just want to say, first of all, thank you for what you said at the beginning of the show. I've been with you since the days of the Nasty Boy and the Show Killer, and I really appreciate you being here every day, answering the bell and making life better. It's really, really, really great to have you guys, and since you've added the Danettes, it's just been a real joy. I just wanted to say I'm really disappointed in the way college football has played out this year and the way that the Big Ten has acted like, you know, one of the five families in The Godfather with this. Today I will give you, you know, Ohio State. You know, what is this? Fields is probably hurt. Are we going to play the game? I mean, I don't know, man. I know.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for the kind words and the impersonation there. Thought it was pretty good. But I wanted to make sure that I framed this correctly, that this isn't about Justin Fields, that Ohio State is planning to play. From what I was told, the Big Ten was advocating for the game to be moved another week. They just want to see if it's an option because of COVID. I don't know if it's an official request. I was just told that they're advocating to move it another week because Ohio State is really close to the availability limit for this game with their players due to COVID. More phone calls coming up.